In the WNRN studio this morning, Jesse Winchester. Good morning.
Good morning, Ann.
I'm so glad to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And you were saying nice things about the Gravity Lounge earlier when we were talking before. You've been coming to town a lot recently.
Yes, I have.
And started building a relationship with the Gravity Lounge, and then I hear that you decided to come permanently to Charlottesville as well.
That's right. I just liked it so much. Yeah. Yes. Back in May, we moved here.
And you are kind of known for kind of making a statement, well, with your residency of sorts. we can be so bold to make that segue. You, back in the late 60s, went to Montreal after you got your draft notice.
Yes, I did.
I'm a little confused about whether your musical career had already started before you left for Montreal, or it started while you were up there.
Well, I had always played music, even as a child, but I hadn't been the front man, so to speak, until I went to Montreal. I'd played, backed up other singers and that kind of thing, and played in bars, but it wasn't until I went to Montreal and got a job in a coffee house. I had been playing in bands up until that point, and we had been repeatedly cheated by the promoters. I don't know what it was, a rash of dishonesty going around or something like that, but I just got so fed up with being cheated and stranded out in the middle of nowhere by these people that I said, I'm not going to play in bands anymore. I'm going to play solo. I'm going to go play Shadow of Your Smile for people who are having salmon and steak. So that's what I did. And in the course of doing that, I got a job in a coffee house with people with long hair and playing bongos and reading poetry and that kind of thing. And they expected you to write your own songs. So with that, I started writing, ever eager to please, I started writing my own songs. And at that point, I became sort of the front man.
So how in that long hair and coffee shop and writing your own songs did you hook up with Robbie Robertson, who helped you with your first album?
Robbie was a friend of a friend. He and the other people in the band were from Toronto, and there's quite a bit of cultural exchange, at least amongst the English population, between Toronto and Montreal. People who are in the arts go back and forth quite a bit, and one of Robbie's friends befriended me and liked my music and introduced us.
And so, you know, on this first album, back in, when was it? 1970, 1969?
69 or 70, yeah.
You had Robbie Robertson, Leon Helm, and others backing you up on this album, which you couldn't tour to support, or at least not in the U.S. anyway.
Right, right.
And so it is interesting to me to, you know, look at, you know, your history and to think that, you know, I guess you had to be really innovative in some level to keep your career going, because I think a lot of people support themselves with touring. It's just not, you know, CD sales or album sales as it was back in those days that pays the bills. So how did you keep yourself going through all that? Did you have a good balance of touring and whatnot that kept you going there?
Yes, I don't believe I ever made any money from records. So yes, it was all from touring, and it is hard in Canada, especially when the city you live in is mainly French. So I quickly exhausted the audience there. So I had to tour in English Canada, and I would go to Australia periodically and to Europe and that sort of thing to keep myself going. But yeah, the distances really make it hard in Canada. You know, people are scattered across a very big area. So yeah, it made it difficult.
But then, obviously, one of the other things that I guess distinguish you is that people really liked your songs and started recording them. So I imagine that they, you know, that one of the publishing companies would find you and hand you an occasional check for people covering your songs.
Yes. I say not making money from records. That's not accurate. I didn't make money from record sales of my own thing, but you're in the music business. You know that ASCAP is performing royalties. I made money from that. My songs being played on the radio and that sort of thing. And yes, I did get covers from other artists. That's always been a big kick for me. Yeah.
Well, to me, looking over, you know, your inventory, your very fine inventory of songs, I came across a couple of them. I mean, I had kind of gained my relationship with you to a certain degree by really liking other people's renditions of your songs. And then I go, well, who wrote that? Did he write that or she write that? And then I would say, oh, it's Jesse Winchester again. And one of the songs was Biloxi. And a whole host of people seeming to be covering your Defying Gravity song, which actually Cheryl Wheeler's most recent album is named after your song. So how did you kind of promote that relationship with other artists, or did it just happen all, you know, on its own?
Well, it didn't happen because of me. I really haven't made any efforts personally to do that. I wouldn't know how to begin, but I have had good business relationships for the most part. I can think of a couple that weren't so good, but I won't mention them by name. But no, I've had a good publisher usually, and they do things like that. And also people, I think, just hear the records and learn the songs that way. But Nashville is a really, if you're involved in Nashville as a songwriter, it's a very good place to be based as a songwriter, because it's so small as opposed to Los Angeles or New York. You know, the usual procedure for an artist who's going to make a record in Nashville is to take your producer and walk up and down Music Row, which is 17th Avenue North and South. And you can go the entire length of that in a few hours, going from office to publisher to publisher, and listen to what that publisher might have available. And it's just great. It's really a songwriter's town. And, you know, I've been lucky enough that my style suits Nashville. So it just worked out great.
My guest this morning is Jesse Winchester, and he's playing tonight at the Gravity Lounge with music starting at 7 o'clock. We will have some tickets to give away to that show. Let's play some music from a live CD, give people a chance to listen to what you do sound like live, solo. And we'll be back with more conversation with Jesse Winchester right here on WNRN. Jesse Winchester from Live at Mountain Stage CD. He is live in the WNRN studios this morning and is playing tonight at the Gravity Lounge. We were talking about your songwriting career, and you mentioned ASCAP. I think I read in the Hook article they ran about you that you are going to be honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award coming up soon. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So, that's, you know, I guess, you know, after, what, 40 years of writing songs, you know, it's time someone did that. Have you received other honors like this before?
I've received awards from time to time. I remember one in particular that I got for writing a song called Mississippi, You're On My Mind, and I got it from the state legislature of Mississippi. And I've hung on to it all these years, of course, because it's in the first place a great honor, but also I think it would be really good material for blackmail if I ever really wanted to chase a Mississippi legislator down and tell him who, in fact, he actually gave the award to without knowing. But I haven't had a lot of awards. And this will be the nicest one I think I've had. Well, that's not kind to say. I appreciate all of them. But this is probably from the most prestigious organization, yeah.
Well, certainly you've had a lot of people recognize your work over the years. Do you have any, is there any particular version of any of your songs that have made you the most proud?
The most proud?
Yeah.
Well, it's when you do this for money, you, you tend to remember the biggest checks, you know.
Okay, but, well, we can go there, too, if you'd like.
I think the one that made me the most money was Reba McEntire. Bless her heart. But the one, it's hard for me to separate my ego from my aesthetic appreciation. If someone that I really have loved all my life and admire records one of my songs, I can't really be objective about how it sounds. I'm just so honored that they did it. But all that being said, I do remember a version of a song called Evil Angel that was recorded by Ed Bruce. Now, Ed Bruce and his wife wrote the song Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. And he made a record. I don't know how many records he made, not too many. And he just nailed that song. It was so funky and tasty. I just loved it. So I think maybe that's still my favorite one musically.
Well, you've written a lot of songs, but also you've taken time between records. When Gentlemen of Leisure came out, I guess it had been over a decade since you had released a CD. And are you working on another one? I have to ask.
Yeah, I've got the writing done for it. I just need to do the business now, and that's always been the hang-up. I'm not an especially popular artist, and you know, that's a problem. I just don't sell a whole lot of records, and I'm sorry about that. So I have to do business. I have to find somebody who's congenial and willing to take a chance and that sort of thing. So once that's done, you know, it shouldn't be too difficult. There are lots of small record companies nowadays. The record business is, and as you know, Ann, is in a state of real flux at the moment. These giants are forming like Sony and EMI, and then they're breaking apart, and all the peer-to-peer file sharing is eating into everybody's profits, and nobody seems to know what to do. Musically, things seem to be stagnating. So it's a difficult time for the record companies, and it's hard for me to work up any real sympathy for them. So it's possible now for somebody, it's more than possible, it happens every day for people like me to make their own records. You can have a recording studio in your bedroom these days that sounds as good as anything that you'll pay $300 an hour for in Santa Monica or someplace. So it's entirely possible to do that and sell it over the internet and market it yourself, whatever that means. And I would like to do that, but from the point of view of performing, you're probably better going with a label who will have a publicity department of whatever size who will help you get it out to people. They'll send copies to all the radio stations or whatever they do. And that's sort of helpful in the performing end of things. So I'll probably wind up finding a good-hearted, foolhardy label and settle with them.
My guest this morning is Jesse Winchester. He's playing tonight at the Gravity Lounge. I'm just kind of curious, in terms of all the different places that you could choose to live, why you chose Charlottesville?
It happened because, first of all, I came back to the States because I fell in love with Cindy. I had never intended to come back to the States to live. I was very happy in Quebec, in the eastern townships in Montreal. And then I met Cindy, and I just couldn't ask her to learn to speak French. It was so, it's hard to learn to speak French, and I just didn't have the heart to ask her to move there. So I moved back here. I could already speak English, and I was used to, oddly enough, Cindy lived in Memphis, which is where I'm originally from. So I wound up back in Memphis, and we lived there for about 3 years, 2.5 years. And then Cindy's daughter and son-in-law and two children moved to Charlottesville because the public schools in Memphis are really having a terrible time, with just violence and drugs, and the whole thing is just falling apart. And Memphis politically is just such a mess, I cannot tell you. It's very sad. So the Cindy's daughter and her family looked all around, shopped for another place to live with good schools and good climate and beautiful topography and all the rest and nice people, and they settled on Charlottesville. And we followed them here. We were happy to follow them here, and that's sort of how it happened.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're happy with this area. Right. And well, you're originally from was it Shreveport, Louisiana?
I was born in Shreveport, but that's just because my dad was in the service at the end of the Second World War. So I was born on the army base there, Bossier City, which is just across the river from Shreveport. But we moved away almost immediately, and my family is originally from Memphis. That's where I grew up. He got out of the war, and he was sort of an early hippie, my father. He was so disgusted by the war and just the fact that that's what civilization had brought us to, that he sort of wanted to check out, and he would get back to the land, the whole hippie thing, really, sort of 30 years ahead of his time, 20 years. So he wanted to become a farmer in Mississippi, and that's what we did. And we had a succession, I believe, of three farms. He was successful. Each time we moved to a bigger farm, Dad turned out to be pretty good at it for a city boy. Until he had a heart attack and couldn't do the hard work anymore, and he went to law school. And at that point, our fortunes really kind of looked up, and we moved back to Memphis. And that's where I lived until I went north.
Well, certainly a lot of your songwriting looks, at the South. I mean, we played Brand New Tennessee Waltz. You had the song Bluxy. We talked about the song about Mississippi fondly of that area. But I was interested to hear that kind of your two topics of conversation in songwriting were God and women.
Yes. That's really country music. I think that's typical of country music. I don't think I'm a real country musician. Or person, although I'd like to be, but that's the music I listen to and the music I love with all my heart, I just can't tell you how much it means to me, country music, both the gospel side and the secular side. I've said it before, I sing about God and women, and it's probably because I get the two confused.
Okay, that's an interesting, how is it that you get them confused?
Well, I think that God really appears to us through other people. He speaks to us through everyone we talk to, really, even the people that we don't really like very much. He's talking to us through them, too. But because I think the most important relationship, at least in my experience, to get right, the I Ching says that if the relationship between man and woman is correct, then the entire world is at peace and correct. And I think that because it's not very easy for men and women to get along together and to understand each other, that's what makes it so very important that we do, that we work at it and try to understand each other. Therefore, I think that that it is in learning to get along with the opposite sex that we really, it's a spiritual exercise, and it's I think that's how we please God. You know, I don't want to get all, evangelical on you here.
Well, no, it's an interesting topic, and certainly I can see where you can go from there in terms of not only songwriting but also maybe an outlook on life and the way you should go about doing things. But I have actually here queued up "Gentlemen of Leisure," which is kind of a wry humor song, I would say. That was the title track of your most recent album out on Sugar Hill Records. And, it actually doesn't kind of fit either one of those categories, I think. Or does it?
No, you're right. That's a more novelty song. Yeah. I grew up in the age of Sheb Woolley, One Eyed, One Horn, Flying Purple People Eater, and Ray Stevens, all the great novelty songwriters, and I still love them. And I try to have, for performing, I try to have several things to sort of break it up, because it the whole singer-songwriter thing I find gets a little too intense for me quite often. And you need to really just break the air, and that's what these songs are for.
Well, it's a fun one. I really enjoy this one a lot, as well as all the other ones. Well, we need to leave it there for today. Maybe you'll come back and see me again.
I'd love to.
Jesse Winchester is my guest. He's playing tonight at the Gravity Lounge. Music starts at 7.